All right. Welcome, 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 everyone. Ladies and gentlemen and everyone in between. This is Tony's Political Ramblings, episode 19. And unfortunately, that's the last time I believe that the title there will rhyme. And that rhymed too. But at any rate, today I want to get into something that's a little more personal to me. And not directly, but through the people I know in my life. And that's going to be anti-Asian sentiment in the United States. And now, I'm not personally Asian, nor will I ever claim to be, but my minor in college was Asian studies, which is a broad term. But along the way, I met a lot of people from Asian countries, places like Hong Kong, Singapore, Korea, and I met a lot of Asian Americans who were all over the country as well, from California, Arizona, all in Northeast and New York, all sorts. And I wanted to get into this because these are people that I know personally, and having seen this anti-Asian sentiment rile up recently, you know, it hits home for me. And so I wanted to get into it today. So like many things in our world, it is this anti-Asian sentiment, I believe, sort of stems from the initial worldview that existed during the European colonial days. Surprise, surprise. Obviously, there wasn't a whole lot of interaction between different groups around the world prior to European colonialism. So again, a lot of that gets colored. A lot of our view of the world gets colored by that, the view of the European explorer, conqueror, and colonizer. And so what you primarily see is there's a decent literature on this as well. It's this idea of Orientalism. And Orientalism looks different where you are, depending on where you are in this broadly ill-defined Asia, but I'm going to look specifically at East Asia, countries like China, Korea, Japan, Taiwan, that sort of things. Or excuse me, Taiwan is autonomous regional zone, I suppose. I don't know, something like that. But at any rate, East Asia, that's where I'm going to be looking at here. So a lot of this comes from, like I said, a lot of this comes from the view that European colonizers had of places like China and the Chinese people, the Japanese people, et cetera, et cetera. And so a lot of this in East Asia manifests itself as such. The men were effeminate, not trustworthy, unclean, scheming, conniving, dirty, addicted to opium in the case of the Chinese. That was the stereotypical view from a European man's, oftentimes, perspective. And so that was the view that got translated around the world. And so when we look at the women were exotic temptresses with a hint of danger. And again, an element that could not be trusted, but also somebody who's passive, submissive, and who would make a good wife. And obviously you see that play out post-World War II when you had a lot of World War II veterans bringing back Japanese wives from Japan. And a lot of people in the 1950s, 60s, 70s, all the way up to the present, I'd even say, but obviously it's gone down recently. But in those decades, you had a lot of men going over to Asia to find wives because they were seen as more submissive. And so these ideas that were really created in the 1800s, 1700s, 1900s, when European colonialism was going on in Asia, have really stuck through to today. And so when you had Chinese immigrants in particular, we'll look at coming to the United States in the 1800s, the second half of the 1800s, you had the Chinese Exclusion Act come about because people did not trust the Chinese. They thought they were taking their jobs. which isn't uncommon, isn't very different from what we're hearing now with the Mexican population and the Latino population here in the United States. But at any rate, so the Chinese Exclusion Act basically worked to prevent the immigration of Chinese laborers to the United States because it was believed that they were stealing their jobs and they wouldn't be trustworthy, et cetera, et cetera. And so, again, this anti-Chinese sentiment kept moving and moving and moving all the way through, the next 20, 30 years after that. And so you see the establishment of these Chinatowns as a means of sort of quartering off that population in a given spot in a city. And oftentimes these weren't very nice areas of town and you know, that sort of thing. And honestly, just to back out of the Asian example for a minute here, if you look at any sort of group, you look at the Italians, things like Little Italy, Irish neighborhoods, Slavic neighborhoods, and Chinatowns, it's not really surprising that they were the groups that were discriminated against because they had to pretty much be forced into their own little neighborhoods away from the rest of the white people and the Anglo Americans and the German Americans, so the Dutch Americans, that sort of thing. And so this continues over time, and obviously in World War II, it really reaches a zenith with anti-Japanese sentiment. Obviously, with the internment camps going on at the time, it was really a horrible thing that was done to basically force, not basically, to force Japanese Americans who had been in the country. Sometimes, I mean, I can tell you very clearly that my father's side of the family had been in the country less than some of these Japanese Americans who were forced onto internment camps at the time, of course. And so you had that going on. And then in particular, after World War II, you had Japan's economic revival and return to prominence in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s. And so you had a lot of mistrust happening then with Japan. Sort of this idea like, oh, well, what if they pass the United States? What if they do this and that? And so you had that coming still. And then, of course, as time has gone on and Japan has sort of, I wouldn't say stalled economically, but their growth has certainly slowed. They're still a big player economically in the global scale, but the rate at which they were growing has slowed, and a lot of that has been due to their population problems. And you can head over to my video on the Chinese population problem that might go into a little more detail on that. And speaking of China, the Chinese have taken the place of the Japanese in terms of being the focus of American uncertainty and anxieties now, as they were the country that had huge economic growth over the last 30, 40, 50 years. And so you have this now, and now where we're at with this is in the post-COVID world, as we see it, you have a lot of people believing that Chinese people were the reason that it was brought here, or that they're somehow connected to the doings of a lab in Wuhan, China. And that's just patently false. You know, my Asian American friends who have been in the country for 50, 60, 70 years have zero to do with a lab or a wet market, because we still don't know, in Wuhan, China. This has nothing to do with it. Even Chinese people have little or nothing, more so nothing to do with the spread of COVID-19. So the responsibility really lies at the feet of the Chinese Communist Party, as they were the ones who did not let the world know about this until it was too late. But it does not fall at the hands of the people of the People's Republic of China. And it certainly does not fall at the feet of Asian Americans who have worked hard for this country's prosperity. We've had Asian Americans in U.S. military service since the War of 1812. Asian Americans have been an integral part of this country's development, particularly on the West Coast. You had Chinese laborers who did backbreaking, very difficult labor in terms of building the railroads that connected our country together in the 1800s. And of course, that was under very racist and particularly dangerous conditions, but they still did it. Asian Americans are as American as you and me, assuming the listener here is from America. And so to completely hate a group of people based off of this racial group is wrong. It's 100% wrong, and it needs to stop. So if you've made it this far, I want you to take a second and reflect, to think about this. Think about your biases, your beliefs, and your actions in the past. And when you make an effort to be anti-racist, make sure that that effort includes Asian Americans and Asian people around the world, because we need them in the discussion too.